U.S. markets open up despite ongoing trade concerns. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. There's been a lot of trade news in the last week or so. Higher tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods last week. Plans released Monday to hike tariffs on another $300 billion worth of products, many of them consumer goods. Further administration crackdowns on the Chinese telecom company Huawei. And news about delaying auto tariffs for Japan and the EU. Jay Bryson is managing director and global economist for Wells Fargo Securities. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kimberly.
So lots of back and forth on trade and tariffs right now. How are the markets reacting to it?
We come out with a threat, markets go down, but then, you know, in the next day, the president says, oh, I think we can work all this out, and market kind of bounces up. So we really kind of need to see, you know, where this is all going to end up.
And companies are trying to game this out in the future. We heard from Walmart today, and they said if this next round of tariffs on consumer goods actually happens, customers will get those price increases.
Yeah, so far customers, you know, retail customers really haven't seen it because up to this point, most of the tariffs have been concentrated on, you know, industrial goods. But, you know, if we were to go to tariffs on those $300 billion more, a lot of those goods would be consumer goods, things that consumers buy directly. And at that point, you could actually start to see bigger price increases at stores for, you know, individual consumers.
Jay Bryson is managing director and global economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
A federal judge has ruled that the Food and Drug Administration waited too long to regulate electronic cigarettes. The FDA planned on waiting several years before making e-cig makers submit their products for review. This ruling could speed up that timeline. Marketplace's Michael Lipkin has more.
If you make tobacco products, a federal law says you need to get approval from the FDA before you can sell them. But as the Trump administration was figuring out how those rules would apply to e-cigarettes, it said e-cig manufacturers could wait 5 years before even applying and could keep selling e-cigs in the meantime. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Heart Association, and others sued, arguing that the FDA was ignoring its responsibilities. Teen smoking is down, but the CDC says 3.6 million middle and high school students are vaping. The long-term health effects of that aren't clear. The FDA has taken a stronger stance against vaping this year, especially against flavored products, and it cut down how long manufacturers could wait without getting approval, setting a new deadline of 2021. But the judge in this case ruled that the agency was abdicating its responsibility by waiting so long and giving manufacturers a, quote, holiday from following the law. He called for plans on new regulations within a month. The FDA says it's reviewing the decision.
That's Marketplace's Michael Lipkin.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We're still following news about a delay in proposed auto tariffs for the EU and Japan. The Trump administration decided to put off a final decision on those tariffs for about 6 months. As part of that plan, the administration may try a strategy that would, according to Bloomberg, give the EU and Japan a choice. Tariffs or quotas? For more on this, I'm joined by Mary Lovely. She's an economics professor at Syracuse University. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is the big difference between tariffs and quotas?
Well, a tariff is just a tax. So if demand surges, Americans want more of a particular vehicle, they can buy it. With a quota, which is a cap on how many units can come in, if demand surges, we don't get extra vehicles. And in fact, usually the producer, the manufacturer overseas, decides which type of vehicles the Americans will actually be able to buy.
So if the U.S. goal either way is to restrict imports, why would a country prefer one over the other?
Well, typically there's a couple of reasons why a politician might want to choose one rather than the other. First, by using a quota, the country that is having its imports restricted, say Japan, would receive whatever extra rents the producers make for the vehicles. So what this means is that if a price of a car rises because of a tariff or a quota, which it would, the quota would actually allow the manufacturer in Japan to reap the extra higher price. With a tariff, as President Trump has said many times, there is a lot of tariff revenue that goes to the federal government's coffers.
So basically, it's the question of the exporting company getting the extra money from the restriction or the U.S. federal government getting the extra money from the restriction.
Yes. And if the U.S. is restricting imports in a way that some of its allies or trading partners don't like, one way in which it can soften the blow is by allowing them to reap these extra profits in our markets.
So specifically, though, do tariffs versus quotas have different effects on the American market?
Both of them raise price, so that's the same. But what's different is the types of vehicles that you'll be able to buy. So right now, if we take Japanese manufacturers, the most popular vehicles that are sold in America are actually already made here in so-called transplant factories. So a Toyota Camry, for example. It's when you have a model that has very few American buyers or a small niche market. Those types of vehicles may even disappear from the U.S. market or be available in very limited supply. The manufacturer basically has a number of vehicles it can bring over, so it's going to bring the vehicles on which it has the biggest market, sure to sell them, and also those which would have a higher profit margin.
Mary Lovely is a professor of economics at Syracuse University. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimberly.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.